Well, tonight we're continuing with our series, How to Get Your Healing. And this one is called, Healing Belongs to You. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Whoa. That's the word of God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And healing requires a partnership. Because of Hosea 4:6, which states, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, there's a story I'm sure many of you have heard before, at the turn of the last century, not this century, but at the turn of last century, there was a man who had to take a trip to Europe. He had to cross the Atlantic. And to do that, he had to sign up and get a boarding pass for a cruise liner. And he did that. But he knew that he didn't have very much money, so he packed a lunch for many days. He brought enough food to last him, but it was crackers and sardines and things like that, things that we don't really think too highly of on a regular basis. But he wanted to be sure that he was going to make the voyage as comfortably as he could on the budget that he had. So he got his ticket, he boarded the ship, and they took off across the Atlantic. So he had his cabin. It was a very nice cabin, and he washed his clothes in the sink, and he did everything he needed to do. He had his sardines, and he would take walks on the ship, and he would greet people and say hello. But there, as he walked by, he would see this great big hall filled with tables and lots of food. Lots of food. And people were smiling. They had their plates. They were gathering fruit. They had vegetables. On another table, there was a big spread of meat with ham and steaks. Anything you really could think of was in that hall. And he stand outside and look into the doorway and kind of lick his lips a little bit and think, oh man, I wish I could afford it. He'd go back to his room and take out his crackers and sardines and eat them. And this was, you know, a week and a half they were on this voyage. And at the end of the voyage, the captain of the ship was shaking everyone's hand as they were disembarking, and he came up to the captain and greeted him. And the captain said, I don't recognize you. I haven't seen you all this trip. You should have been sitting at my table at some point. And he said, what do you mean? He said, well, every night we've had dinner and we haven't seen you. He said, well, I couldn't afford that. It was just too much, I'm sure. And the captain said, well, what do you mean? It's included in the price of your ticket. So the man lost out, right? He didn't know what was a part of the ticket that he had. He didn't know the rights that he had. He didn't know what was included in that ticket. And the same is true for people in the church. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Healing is called the children's bread in the scriptures. And so many Christians are going hungry because they don't know that healing is a part of their salvation. Healing belongs to us. It's part of what Jesus sacrificed for. It's a part of the covenant that God has established in the Old Testament as well as the New. The names of God reflect his character and his desires for us. Here are a list of all these different covenant names of God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So Jehovah Jireh, my provider, how do we access that? Well, we look and see in the scriptures and we say, ah, yes, The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So by faith, we receive. In this list, after every name, every covenant name of God, there is an affirmation that we can say to appropriate that covenant promise. When we do our affirmations, as you can see in this list, Jesus, we put Jesus' name in every affirmation. It's through Jesus that we access this covenant, that we access the Father, and we access these names of God. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He is my victory. In the name of Jesus, God is my strength, personal bravery, and invincible army. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. In the name of Jesus, the peace of God rules in my heart. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is my righteousness. The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We say that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We say it. We say it. We say it. We appropriate that. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. In the name of Jesus, God has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there with me. We can say, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is my helper and will never leave or forsake me. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord is my sanctifier. In the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin, but alive to God. And then number 8, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So, if I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, am I going to let circumstances tell me what's true? If I have a pain in my body, am I going to say, oh, well, I guess that's the will of God? No. The covenant name of God, Jehovah Rapha, he is my healer. So the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. But you know, I remember when I was, it was probably about 20 years ago. My eyesight was getting worse, and contact lenses no longer worked for me. I couldn't put them in any longer. So I decided that I was going to have LASIK surgery. And I thought, okay, well, that's fine. But, you know, I want to give God a chance first. I remember I lived in Pasadena at the time. I went to the Rose Bowl, and I went to the Rose Bowl all the time. And I walked the 3-mile loop around there. And I just started talking to God and praying to him and asking him to heal my eyes, asking him, please, God, you know, I would like 20/20 vision. Please heal me. And that takes about an hour to walk around like that. And I was just praying and talking to God about my eyes and please heal me. And at the end of the hour, I went, well, nothing's changed. Okay, I'm going to do surgery. And I did. I had LASIK surgery done. But throughout the process of this LASIK surgery, God was with me. So God knew the intentions of my heart. And everything turned out fine, no complications. Never heard the doctor say, oops. But I just realized that I was like so many Christians in the church. We ask God for something. We ask God to heal us. And nothing changes. So then we think that must be the will of God, that it be the way it is. And that's not true. God gives us so many ways to access healing, but we've never really looked at the Word of God to determine what is it? What are those things? What is God's will, really? So we want to know. We don't want to be allowing the lack of healing to think that's the reality of what God wants. God has exalted his word above his name. So we've just looked at a lot of the covenant names of God. But he says, my word I put higher than my name. God considers his word so binding. So we can stand on the word of God and believe it. Isaiah 46, verse 11. What I have spoken, I will bring to pass. God's word is true, and God backs up his word with his power and with his will. It's not just that he can, but he wants to heal us. God can bring it to pass. His word will not return to him void. Every once in a while, I'll be writing a check and I make a mistake and I have to put void across it and I lose a check, right? But when you put void, that means empty, none effect. But his word, God's word, will not return to him void. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And affirmations is the word of God. We take the word of God, we make it personal, and we speak the word of God over ourselves. A lot of people think affirmations are vain repetition. It's not vain. It's not void. How can the word of God, when you speak it over yourself, how can you even think that it's empty? How can you think that it's void and has no worth? The word of God, when we speak it over ourselves, it changes. It changes us. It molds us. It produces that which is designed to do. So if we're saying, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, the word of God is coming in, and it's the grace of God makes it so. We speak it over ourselves, and every cell has to line up. The physical lines up to the spiritual, but we need to be willing to speak the word of God over ourselves. We bring God's word back to him, and it shall not return to him void, but it will perform that which he pleases, that which is designed to do. Amen. It shall prosper. About the works of my hands, command me. So we're reminding God of his word. You said this, God. He's like, yes, I did. Done. Yep. And I just was thinking about the Old Testament where Joshua commanded the sun to stand still because he's still fighting and he wants that sun to continue so that they want to complete the battle. They don't want to wait till morning. And God's like, yes, I shall do it. To God, that wasn't a big deal. To God, everything is subject to change, right? Amen. So when he commanded the sun to stand still, God just held it right there. Yeah. God says, about the works of my hands, command me. We don't necessarily understand all that that means, but when we take his word and say, God, this is what you said, do it. He's like, yeah, I will. Not only is he desiring to do it, he can do it. His hands are not short that he cannot save. Oh, I just think of him like this, you know. My hands aren't short. I can help you. Come on. I'll catch you. You know, no. Shoot, you know those basketball players. That ball sits right there and they're like, right? God's hands aren't short. that he cannot save. He's like right there. Boom, boom. You know, when we have the healing line, we have the catchers, and you know, their fingers are like right near your elbows, and they're like, they're ready, right? That's short. But if they step back, my hand's long, I'll save you. But we don't want to let circumstances dictate to us, right? No, we want to believe God's word. It is the will of God to heal you. And with God, there is no scale of difficulty. It's not on a scale of 1 to 10. Well, let's see. There's number 1 is a headache, and number 10 is cancer. To God, it's all the same. To God, it's no big deal. It's easy for him. Yeah. But you know, sometimes we think that if we pray harder because it has a name, and it's a scary name, that if we pray harder, that somehow that's going to get God to move and he's going to reach out. That's not how it works. To God, it's the same. It's by faith that we receive the promise. Number 5. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So, yeah, his ear isn't too heavy that he can't hear, right? While they're speaking, I will hear. Before they call, I will answer. This scripture is so powerful. And I do not know very many churches that actually put this into practice. But ABC does practice the scripture. But oftentimes, ABC members will call this ministry and say a family member, you know, like an uncle somewhere or a friend has been in a car accident. Can you pray? Well, many of these oftentimes end up on the answering machine. So, of course, if they call and the pastor's there, they'll pray. But sometimes they're not able to get to that message until hours later. So here's the message, and it says, call or pray, pray, pray. So they say, okay, we'll pray. So they pray, first of all, that when that car accident happened, that there were angels to protect, that angels were involved in the process of protecting that person so that they weren't hurt. Then another part of the prayer is that even though the doctors say, remember, the doctors say, we don't say, but the doctors say that this person has broken ribs, broken leg, hurt spleen, whatever it might be from an accident, even though the tests show that this is what's happening, that the ABC prayer is that subsequent testing will show that the challenges are not as challenging as they seemed at first. So the tests will show this, even though the doctor said that. So the doctor says, well, this is going on. Then maybe a few days later, they take some more tests. Well, this is going on. This one's not going on. And then a few days later, another test. Well, this one's going on. And then after that, what's going on? Another time, there was a message on the machine, and it was an urgent call from a woman. You gotta pray now! Now! Pray! Pray! Wow. Pastors called back later after they prayed concerning Isaiah 65:24. And the woman said, oh, well, as soon as I hung up, the pain went away. Well, if you say, before they call, I will answer. So they pray backwards in time, that when that woman called, she got the manifestation of her request. She hung up the phone and she got the answer to her prayer. So time really is not important to God. God created it for God's sake. God created time. He can bend it backwards, right? Mm-hmm. So the prayer is, as soon as they hang up, they're going to experience the manifestation of their prayer. They call back and say, are you okay? Oh, yeah. As soon as I hung up, the pain went away. In fact, I went out with my friends for breakfast. Thank you, Jesus. But you know how many calls come into this ministry every single day like that? A lot. And these kinds of prayers, when we pray Isaiah 65:24, almost 100% of the time, this is what happens. They hang up and they feel the manifestation. Amen. Put me in remembrance. Number 6. Number 7. The word that I speak shall come to pass. Okay, now you know God, whatever he says comes to pass. So I don't really consider God to be a sarcastic kind of guy. Right? It's like, oh, that really looks pretty on you. Not. God doesn't talk like that. So why do we? Right? It's like, oh, that looks really good on you. Oh, brother. Right? So if God said to some ugly dress, that really looks good on you, suddenly, that looks really good. Because what he says comes to pass. So he can't even lie. It's not even possible. He can't lie. So if God says, you're the healed of the Lord, healing is the children's bread, you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, it's true. Amen. My covenant will I not break. Notice it's a covenant, not a contract. Contracts get broken all the time. The covenant names of God. I am Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. There's a covenant that God has made with his people. The Old Testament, the New Testament. His covenant, he does not break. In fact, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 60, 61, around there, he says, if you do all these ordinances and all of these commands, then I will not put any of the afflictions and the diseases of Egypt upon you that he did there. And not only that, but he says, in fact, you know, if there's any new disease that comes up, that's a curse. So if you disobey all these curses, 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 and any other kinds of things you might ever think of or come along the way, swine flu, bovine flu, mad cow disease, right? All these things that are coming up, West Nile virus. It's not listed in that list of curses in Deuteronomy, is it? Something that's come up. But that's part of the curse. But Jesus became a curse for us. He became a curse for us because anyone that's hung on a tree is cursed by God. So all of those diseases, all those curses from Deuteronomy, I think it's 28, all of those curses were put upon Jesus so that they will not come upon us, because through the blood we have forgiveness of sins. So those curses have no place in us. Jesus paid the price. But God meets you where you are. God meets you right where you are. If you don't know anything, he meets you where you are. Even if you're not a Christian, God meets you where you are. There's so many people out there that are having encounters with Jesus who never knew him at all, didn't hear anything about salvation, but Jesus appears to them. God meets you where you are. If you've been in church 38 years, God meets you where you are. If you're brand new Christian, God meets you where you are. When I came to ABC, I did not have all these physical problems, but what I had going on was something that to me was so normal, it didn't even occur to me it was a problem. And that was, I had an anger issue. I kind of had a little rage thing going occasionally. I had a baseball bat in the back of my car just for road rage, you know. I had a problem, but I didn't know it was a problem. Like, that's how I handle things. What's the problem? No problem. Yeah. So when I came to ABC, yeah, I had a problem, but I was looking for God. Before I came, I had this book about that thick, and it was little daily types of meditation things that Smith Wigglesworth had. It actually excerpts of his life, the things that he did. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting, because I'd never heard about healing. I'd never heard about the anointing exactly. I think I'd come across it occasionally, and I didn't know what it was. But this was brand new, and it was exciting to me to read about somebody that God could use like that. That God would actually use a man to lay hands on somebody, and they would be healed. I just, like, wow. And so I carried this around with me. And I would go to a group of Christians, and I'd pull out my book, and I'd say, hey, listen to this. And they're like, wow, that's really neat. I said, yeah, it's great. Well, it just so happened that one of those people, or maybe two of them, had been guests at ABC. And during their visit to ABC, they heard Pastor Joshua talk about this man that was his mentor, who was mentored by Smith Wigglesworth. And I came to their mind. Oh, Deborah likes Smith Wigglesworth. She reads about him. She knows about him. She might like coming here. And so they did invite me. And as soon as I heard that it was in a house, that Pastor Joshua was mentored by somebody, mentored by Smith Wigglesworth, and all this kind of stuff, I had been asking God, where do you want me to go to church? Because I didn't know. And I was just patiently waiting because I believed that God would direct me. So when they asked me, I went, well, I guess that's it. That's it. And when I get there, these people are going to leave. They're just a bridge for me. So I got here and I was listening, and I'm sitting in the front row, and Pastor Joshua, the music stops, and he comes up and he starts to go, okay, here we go. This is the name of the sermon. Da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden he stops and he goes, and I look at him going, I think he's praying in tongues. I've read about that. And then he started over again. But this time, he wasn't so cavalier. This time, he was very focused. And he started to speak. And then I started to see a puff of smoke come out of his mouth. Every word became a little puff of smoke. And I'm in the front row. And I'm like, what? But that to me was just interesting, because I was more focused on what he was saying. And it was talking about Jesus and the Gospels and how the different Gospels reveal Jesus in a different way. And I'm just listening, because I remember it was my first time And I'm listening for heresy, man. I'm listening for some reason not to be here. And I'm listening, and I'm thinking, that's right, that's right, yes, that's right, puff, 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 that's right, yes, that's right. And pretty soon, over the tops of everybody's heads who are sitting down, because remember, this puff is coming out at his mouth level, so now everybody's under this cloud. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. I think I read about that in Smith Wigglesworth. But it was what he said that made me come back. It wasn't the supernatural, you know, because I mean, Smith Wigglesworth entertained me enough on that. But I wanted truth. I didn't want to necessarily see all the wonders and everything. I wanted truth because I wanted to go to church somewhere. And I wanted to grow. And I wanted to be involved in what God is doing, because I knew there was something more. I knew there was something more. So when I got here, I thought, yeah, okay. And of course, what's the first scripture? Well, maybe the second scripture. What's the first scripture do you think I had to learn? Mark 11, 24. And what was the second scripture? 1 Peter 2, 24. Yeah, I remember I was on the ski slopes and I thought I was so cool. I had my little earpiece and I had my cell phone and I called Sarah. Hey, guess where I am? Yeah, I'm on the ski slopes and I've been practicing my speaking in tongues and I'll be getting to my hour probably in the next 2 days. Oh, wonderful. Now, what's the scripture about healing? I went, Peter. Peter 2:21, you know, I wasn't sure, but I was new and I was excited because I finally found some place where I could grow, some place where I could know God in a different way than I had traditionally been involved in. And I was just like a little kid, you know, like, wow, a little kid with anger issues. But 1 Peter 2:24 works on that too. Because it's not just for physical healing. It also works on your emotions when they get out of whack. Why? Because sin. It's just sin. That's all. And again, to God, there's sin. And then there's sin. No, it's sin. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's just sin. On a scale of 1 to 10, is it a headache or is it cancer? Is there a big difference to him? No. Because the effects of sin is sickness and disease. They all go together. So when you're healed, it's a sign that you've been forgiven. When you're forgiven, then there's healing. It's a sign. Right? They go together. But God meets you where you are. When you take a step toward God, he will take a step toward you. And I have a full-length mirror in my bathroom. And sometimes I like to be a visual person. So I look at the mirror and I stand as far away as I can. And then I take a step closer. And that person is taking a step towards me at the same time, right? It's the mirror. And then you take another step. So you get right up close to where it is and you can see the eyes, right? You say, you're a woman of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Man, God loves you so much. And he's looking out. I see you in there, Holy Spirit. And you're going to manifest yourself through me today. But that's what God does. He takes a step towards you when you take a step towards him. He meets you where you are. So I don't have rage issues anymore, in case you were wondering. I've been healed. Yeah. And God is not a respecter of persons. You know, if Jesus had ever in his life was recorded in the gospel, if he had ever made an exception, we could always put ourselves there. He never said, well, I'll heal all of you except for you and you and you. Everywhere in the scripture. And he healed them all. He healed them all. There was not anybody that he said, well, it's not my will to heal you today. Maybe come back next week. Maybe I'll change my mind. Maybe if you like say a few hundred affirmations, I'll change my mind. You know, it's not about that. When we say our affirmations, it's not because we're trying to convince God to heal us. It's not, we're not trying to get God to do something for us. That's not what affirmations are. No, it's saying no to the devil. It's saying no to these lying symptoms. No, no, no. Get your hands off of me. Go. So affirmations is not trying to manipulate God to do something. No, I'm already healed. God said so. So that means that there's an enemy. Use the word of God. That's the sword of the spirit, right? I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Not only that, but you use it as a scalpel. It's not only a sword, it's a surgeon's scalpel. So if there's like tumors or something like that, you just use the word of God coming out your mouth to perform surgery. And that's what the grace of God does. It comes in behind the word and says, yes. And that thing goes down, 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 down. For God so loved the world, it is the will of God that all men be saved. And as we learned about the word saved, that includes healing. All these covenant names of God are aspects of our salvation. For God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So if Jesus died for you, what else would he not give you? I'm God's prized possession. He paid an enormous price for me. God paid the price of his son for me. So he's not going to leave me in a wreck. When you go to a yard sale and you find something that you know is valuable, you're going to purchase that. And you're going to take it home and you're going to clean it. You're going to polish it. And you're going to set it right there on the mantle so that all the people who come in, that's the first thing they're going to see. And they're going to compliment you on your prized possession. And that's what God does for us. He took us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And then he said, okay, yeah, you need some help here. Yeah, I can see that. And by grace, I'm cleaning you up. I'm polishing you. And not only that, but he put his spirit inside of you. He said, this is prime real estate, and this is where I want to live. And he comes and he glorified us by filling us with the Spirit of God, and then puts us on a pedestal and says, look, this is my possession. This is my daughter. This is my son. This is the person that I paid for. I paid a great price. And then the people see the glory of the Lord and they compliment God. Wow. They glorify God because of you. Because the fruit of the Spirit is coming out all around you. So if Christ died for you, what else would he not give you? And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. How can it not? The Spirit dwells in you. Your whole body is the temple of God. It changes. It moves in accordance with the Spirit when we yield ourselves to it. The temple of God. He dwells in you. And he loves you. Salvation requires a partnership. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So here's our partnership. Grace is God's part, and faith is our part. So it's by grace that you are saved through faith. Romans 10:9 talks about how we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then you're saved. So salvation required a partnership. We had to confess it and believe it in our heart. And God rewards those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's a partnership. We seek God, and God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we draw near to God in that secret place. When we're in that secret place, the Bible says that God will reward you openly. So we need to study the Word of God and know His commands. But we not only do it just for that, but we study the Scriptures to know God. We want to know the giver, not just His gifts. We want to know God, those who diligently seek Him. In John 8, verse 31 and 32, talks about two types of believers. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, the Jews believed on him. Those who believe on Jesus, they go to heaven. Right? They're believers. So even though all believers go to heaven, it says that it is the disciples that are set free because they continue in the word. So remember, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who diligently seek him, according to this, are actually disciples because they continue in the word of God. And they're the ones that know the truth, and the truth makes them free. So that's why we see some Christians who are always dragging. Oh, Lord, oh, yep. Keep me in prayer, brother. I'm just dragging through. And then there's those that say, hey, I'm doing well. Yeah, there's some things that are challenging, but I am the healed of the Lord. I am not a sick person trying to get well. I am the healed of the Lord. And there are challenges trying to tell me different, but it ain't going to work. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So whatever it is that you need to be freed from, look it up in the Scriptures. Continue in the Word. Be diligent. Seek God in that secret place. And those are the ones who are disciples, and they know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So as we study the Word of God, we're actually coming to know Jesus more and more, and that truth of who he is in our lives and what he has said concerning our situations makes us free. Grace is multiplied through knowledge of God. So as we continue in the Word of God, our knowledge grows, and faith is determined by what we know. We can't have faith for what we don't know. But when we study the Word of God, our faith then can get bigger and bigger because now we know more and God reveals things to us. So now grace is multiplied through knowledge because as we're learning that, then the faith, we are saved by grace through faith. It's just this circle. It just keeps getting bigger and more wonderful. It gets larger and larger. Healing comes through a partnership with God. God heals all your diseases. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Okay? So God made arrangements for sickness to be removed. All disease, sickness, infirmity, and pain has already been dealt with there. I used this verse to minister to a man at Sam's Club. You know how you're walking through Sam's Club and they have these counters and somebody's trying to get your attention to come over and look at a product? So I was walking by and he's like, "Hey, come over here." So I kind of got snagged into it. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. It was a massage type of thing. I thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, okay, tell me about it. So he's saying how it alleviates pain. You sit on this, and this will do this, and the muscles will work this way, and this, that, and the other. And he says, so, because he wants to do a demonstration, he says, so where do you have pain? I said, I don't have any pain. He looks at me, really? I said, do you? He goes, yeah. He says, I use this product all the time. It really helps me. So I started talking to him, and I found out that he was a Christian, but he had a bad experience at church. He got offended, and he said, I'm out of here, and didn't go back. He had just, like, snarls about church and people at church. So he's telling me this stuff, and he's snarling. So I just listened a little bit, and as he's talking, he's revealing all these different sins, right? Offense, anger, resentment. All this stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you know, in the Bible, Jesus links the forgiveness of sins and healing together because sin and sickness go together. So you say you have a lot of problems with your pain? Uh-huh. Okay. Well, so I just talked to him and taught him some of the things that Jesus did, like with the paralytic, right? They let him down through the roof, and the anointing and the presence of God was there to heal. And Jesus said to the paralytic, get up, take your bed, and go home. And the Pharisees are all upset, thinking to themselves, who does he think he is that he can forgive sins? But Jesus can hear it in his own spirit. He said, well, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and go. Right? So they get up and go. And the man got up and left. So he's saying that it goes together. Forgiveness of sin and healing. So I said to this man, so how about I pray for you and you'll be healed? And he's like, okay. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to say a prayer. You can repeat after me if you like. And I led him in a prayer for the forgiveness of other people, people that he had been angry and snarling at. And I said, and you can do it real quietly, you know, but because we don't want other people to see, right? And he goes, yeah, I don't want anybody to see me. So I led him in a prayer and he's repeating it, you know. And then I said, okay, now put your hand where it hurts. And he put his hand, like, right here. So I put my hand on top of his hand. And I said, in Jesus' name, pain, go. And he's like, oh, man. And I said, okay, so if it was on a scale of 1 to 10, what's it like now? 10 being really bad. He said, well, it's about a 3. And I said, okay, go in Jesus' name. How's it now? He said, it's running down my leg. It's leaving. And then I looked right at him and I said, so do you see how forgiveness of sins and healing go together? And he went, yeah. So that was a demonstration on the other side of the table. On the healing power of God. God's will is that this man be healed. And God has the power to do it. God heals all your diseases. God sent his word and healed them. God, the word, was made flesh to dwell among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, here's Jesus. God heals your diseases. God sent his word. Jesus is the word made flesh. Jesus was sent. Right? God sent his word and healed them. Jesus is the will of God revealed. If you see the Son, you see the Father. Jesus is your healer. The story of healing about God completing his part. You're going to hear this several times. From Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5, talking about the Messiah. So this is a prophecy of Isaiah. Looking forward to the Messiah. Looking forward to the day when the Messiah would come. And Isaiah said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." And those stripes are for the lashes that came across his back, right? So, he healed all to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. Matthew 8, verse 16 through 17. "When the evening was come, they brought to him many who were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." So Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus is the Messiah, fulfilling what Isaiah said. So Jesus revealed the will and the power of God to heal. And he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And then let her see, "By his stripes," or "by his wounds, you were healed." 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So Isaiah looks forward to the Messiah. Matthew is recording that Jesus fulfills that prophecy, that Jesus is the Messiah. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, on the other side of the resurrection, Peter is saying, looking back at the cross, saying, and looking back at the whipping post, that "by his stripes you were healed." Jesus took 39 lashes on his back with that cat of nine tails pulling at the flesh of his body. Jesus said, "My body broken for you." And pull it apart. We just can't imagine the love that kept him there. But you know, love never fails. Jesus is God. God is love, and love never fails. 39 categories of sickness and disease, 39 stripes on his back. Jesus bore it all. And because he bore it, we don't have to. We don't have to. You know, if I buy something, you know, and I pay money, they charge me. They're not going to charge this man for the same thing. That would be cheating. That would be stealing. Right? So, if I pay for it, then it's paid for. If I take his bill and I pay for it, he's blessed. But they can't go back and make him pay again. That would be wrong. Right? Well, Jesus took my bill. Jesus took my infirmity, sickness, and disease, the wages of sin. Jesus took the wages that I earned. He took it and paid it for me. Ugh. So now the devil's coming trying to put it on me. I'm going to be like, "Hey, dude, paid for. Don't bother me. Creditor, go away. Hang up." So Jesus is amazing. So generous. And he did it with his body.
Wow.
So our part is to believe. And as we go through the communion, we are affirming that covenant. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So when we take communion, when we take the body, take the bread, we say, "I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. He said, this is my body broken for you." So that's what we're reaffirming to heaven, hell, and everything else. This is the covenant. And the same is true with the blood. We take the blood, which is the new covenant. Jesus fulfilled the old in his body, and then he established the new in his blood. And why is that? Because sin, the effects of sin, are done away with his body, and the forgiveness of sin is through his blood. So what the blood forgives, the body removes. We're forgiven of sin, so the effects of sin in his body are removed from us. So we can be clean and pure and holy and righteous in the sight of God. So when we take communion, that's what we're affirming. That's what we're declaring. That's what we are receiving. He that eats my flesh dwells in me. So we're dwelling communion with him. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Again, abide. So we're dwell. He that eats my flesh dwells in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. That's amazing. That's so beautiful. We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. The word of God is a seed that's planted inside of us and it grows. And the kingdom of God is like that seed and it grows and it grows and takes over and occupies. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if we hear from a doctor who says the word cancer, we don't want to try and pray a better prayer or a deeper prayer. Or maybe we like, cancer. Okay, Lord, Lord, Lord. Then we got to say Jesus just a certain way because we want to be able to get that thing, you know. But you know, that's actually praying out of fear. Not praying out of faith. When we pray out of fear, we're actually saying, cancer, you're amazing. Cancer, I'm intimidated by you. Cancer, you're powerful. God, so when we pray like that because of fear, we're actually honoring it. It feels puffed up. Like, yeah, I am cancer. Right? I'm not headache. I'm cancer. I'm number 10. So we don't want to pray out of fear. Right? It's true. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. We don't want to pray out of fear. Jesus is not intimidated by cancer. If cancer becomes our identity, then we're praying from the problem. We're not praying in faith. Faith doesn't come because you have a problem. Faith comes because of love. Faith comes because of the word of God and the promise of God. So we are not problem-driven people. We are promise-driven people. We are answer-driven people. We have a victory in Christ that we are contending for. We are appropriating because the word of God is true. So we're not necessarily doing it only because we read the Bible and now we know our rights. But we're reading the Bible and knowing what God's word says about our situation, but we're reading it because we want to know God. Because as we know God and we're in relationship with God, we're dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty. We're in that place and His protection around us. We have a relationship and a covenant with God, who is our Father, and He is willing and able, and He is our healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We watch these TV commercials, and they have all of these new medicines out there. And they say, oh, do you need this? You need this medicine. But it has all these bad side effects, including nausea, can't sleep. Could, in some extreme cases, could induce vomiting and death. You know, and you're like, why'd I take that medicine for? That's worse than what's going on, right? So we need to be renewed in our mind. We are not the sick trying to get healed. We are already victorious in Christ Jesus. We are the healed, and we are victorious, and we are overcoming, and we are not allowing sickness to take its place in our bodies. So we use those affirmations as the sword of the Spirit as we're fighting it off. So we are not coming from the problem. We are coming from the answer. Amen. We don't want our physical circumstances to tell us what's real. We believe it is the will of God to heal. And we dwell in this presence of God, which changes our body. Moses was in the presence of God 40 days, and then he broke 10 commandments, and then he went back into the presence of God. He was in the presence of God for about 80 days, maybe more. And from that place, every cell in his body was transfigured. He was shining. He was glorious. And when he came down that mountain, they were afraid of him, and they ran away. And he had to put a veil over his face. And sometimes when we read that, we think, oh, because the glory was too much and they couldn't handle it. No, it was they put a veil over his face because they didn't want the children of Israel to see that the glory that came from the giving of the law was actually fading. But to be in the presence of God for that long, his whole body, his cellular structure was changed. Jesus had the same thing. When they went up on that mountain with Peter, James, and John, and Jesus basically probably just said, okay, these guys are all right. I'm just going to commune with my Heavenly Father. Like the light bulb. And they didn't know what to do. But Jesus was transfigured. And he said, follow me. Which means it's possible for us. And I know that there are many people here who can testify that they themselves have been told that they were glowing. I know I've told so-and-so and so-and-so that I could see the glow around them. Now, it might not be like the neon sign like Jesus and Moses, but it was the light. There was a light emanating. One time I came away from services and I went to Starbucks. I don't normally drink coffee, but I went to Starbucks for some reason. I think I had to meet somebody. And a stranger came up to me and said, I'm just wanting to introduce myself. I just wanted to let you know that you're glowing. And I said, you know what? I believe you. And you want to know why? And he said, yeah. And I said, it's because I had a spiritual awakening. You want to hear about it? He sat down. He's like, yeah. So I did. I told him about Jesus. And then it turns out he was some dignitary for the Catholic Cathedral in Los Angeles. And he was like really excited to hear the testimony that he could actually see. And he's the one who initiated it, you know. I didn't come up to him. And then he gave me this little medallion of somebody. I said, oh, thank you. Thank you. But dwelling in the presence of God changes your body. And I know for many of us, when we come away from our meetings here and we go home, that we know, even driving home, we can tell that we've been dwelling in the presence of God and that we are still vibrating. Our cells are still shaking from being in His presence. It is the most amazing thing. And I'm so glad that I have been able to come to this ministry. It's amazing. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. So the recommendation is to commit in your heart to draw closer to God every day and speak God's word over you. It's the truth. It is the word of God, and He cannot lie. He is not a man that He should lie. He is willing. He is able. So let's do it. Amen. Amen. Amen.